just walking down the aisle with you, man, having a good time. All I am right now, I'm Charlotte's dad and want to be part of Randy Orton's life. I've been there, man. I ain't Ric Flair anymore. You're right. But I'm a big fan of you, and you're the guy to break my record. That's all I want.
This is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen or feel the pain. Woo! Woo!
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 15th. A couple holidays today. It's Feast of the Assumption. You know what happens when you make an assumption. It's National Honeybee Awareness Day and Relaxation Day. And there's one for me right there. Quick happy birthday. Only one birthday today that I know of, and it's my good friend Billy DeTore. Happy birthday, Billy DeTore. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. You can join us tonight for UFC 252 at Salvatore's Saloon, Salvatore's in Scottsville. Tonight, UFC 252 main event, Cormier versus Miocic 3. Starts at 10 p.m. You want to get there early. There's limited seating, so come on out to Salvatore Saloon in Scottsville. Also, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you want to help out the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. Check them out at flowercityfear.com. And we're always looking for volunteers. Hey, welcome to the show today. We're talking in the world of pro wrestling. I've got the four corners of wrestling knowledge that are on the screen right now. It's and I'm one of them this week. Woohoo! All right, but first let me introduce the cast and crew. We've got the Artiste in the bottom right corner. What's up, Mr. Artiste? How you doing today?
Good morning. Yeah, bottom right corner, whatever it is, we're ready to go this morning.
It might be so. It might be bottom left, depends if my phone does it backwards, but you're awesome. We got Danger Boy in the bottom other corner. What's up, Danger?
Good morning. Just waking up on a Saturday. National Relaxation Day. I think I'll take advantage of it.
Definitely. And Furby in the top right corner or top left corner, depends on which way the camera looks. What's up, Furbs?
Not much. I will not be relaxing today because I will be painting. So that's going to be my joyous day.
And in the top left corner is the Cash Man. Hey, I'm on for once, finally. Wow, okay. And yes, it is Relaxation Day. We got a lot of things to talk about. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, of course. But, you know, the sports world has once again been hit by the COVID bug last night. I don't know if you heard this or not, but one player from the Reds tested positive after a game last night after they had played. Who knows what Major League Baseball is going to do. WWE, in fact, had a COVID positive test recently, too, which kind of scrapped what they were going to do until yesterday or until Thursday with SmackDown. They had to hold off on taping for like 10 days, I think it was, at least. So, for at least, we're still living in that world. You guys surviving okay?
So far, so good.
We've only lost Danny. That's it. So, no, I'm kidding. Danny. Sorry, I'm kidding. Danny's busy today. You guys can give us a call, 222-1280, *1280, and I will look over and see the phone ring. I promise I'll answer the phone this week. But how's your week been so far, Danger?
I'm supposed to be in Alaska this week. I'm supposed to be getting back onto shore today. So instead of doing that, I just kind of did a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'd rather have been in Alaska.
Yeah.
Where in Alaska?
We're doing a cruise. So I was going through the Inside Passage, Glacier National Park, that kind of stuff.
So it'd be nice. He was in the water in Alaska. That's where he was.
Oh, we were getting off in a whole bunch of different places.
Oh, you're getting off everywhere, man. I would love
to get back to Alaska this time of year. We went in February last year, and oh my God, that was cool.
Awesome. So there's like icebergs everywhere and friggin' seals and stuff like that. No, I'm kidding. Just being stereotypical. But how about you? How you doing this week, Mr. Artiste? You surviving?
Yeah. I mean, same old. All these weeks are like blurring together, but there's been more amazing playoff hockey to watch this week. Lots of overtime. So that's pretty much the main thing. I'm just waiting to see what happens with everything else with the world and the weird state of living that we're in, but it's all good.
What about that 5 overtime game the other day? I tuned in when it was in the 3rd overtime.
I started watching that at 3 o'clock the other day, and first game of the playoffs. It's just of the real playoffs, at least. And
yeah.
I was only upset when it ended because it was so close to setting the record for at least the longest game of our lifetimes. I was like, whatever, 10 minutes short or something on that. So really enjoyed that. I mean, granted, a lot was not happening, but props to those players for how much they're playing this week. It's insane. So
yeah, well, plus you see a game where there's 150 saves, 150 plus saves. That's insane, you know? That was the one guy had. They got one guy has a record no one's going to touch. What was it, like 87 or something? I don't know. It was like... It was
80-ish. So yeah, something around there. Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was disappointing. I didn't care who was like won the game. I just wanted it to keep going and going. So we got into what was that, quintuple overtime. It was so close to getting to sextuple overtime, but maybe next week. Maybe today. Who knows? So.
All right. How about you, Mr. Furby? You're surviving?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Start my 11-day vacation today. This would have been the week I would have been going to Boston for SummerSlam. So made some alternative plans, heading back to Atlantic City for 2 GCW shows, a Beyond Wrestling show. So got a little bit of a doubleheader on Sunday night. So lots of fun in store for me next weekend.
Very cool. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in wrestling. And in fact, even an update on where SummerSlam is going to be. But before we go too far, we got Mike from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
We are living in a COVID-19 world.
It's crazy, man. It's like March 12th this started, and it feels like it's August, 15th today. It doesn't feel like it's ever going to end anytime soon.
I almost want to do like a spoof of Madonna's Living in a Material World. Just call it Living in a COVID-19 World, you know? But yeah, so what's up, man? We're all getting plenty of wrestling, that's for sure. There's a lot of wrestling on.
Yes, it's been, work has been constantly busy because I've just been essential, so I've been working the whole time. And watching as much wrestling as I can under the circumstances. And I'm very excited. First of all, I wanted to talk about was tonight's big fight between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. Who do you guys think is going to win?
Oh, man, I'm excited. I heard that. I haven't seen it, but Cormier is like come back in prime light heavyweight shape. So he's serious about it. This is supposedly going to be his last fight, too.
Right.
That's what they're saying. But he retires as champion. I think it was a fluke he won the first time, and I think Stipe is going to, you know, maybe he'll last longer this time against Stipe, but it's going to be a good fight. You don't get a good heavyweight fight in UFC very much, you know? Not often.
No, you definitely don't, and I kind of agree with you on that. It's tough because Cormier is such a great wrestler, but yet Stipe is a pretty good takedown defense guy too, so that's why I agree with you. I think Stipe is going to win, although it would be a great feel-good story for Cormier to retire as heavyweight champ.
Maybe John Jones comes out and hugs him or something at the end, you know? I don't know.
It turns on him like FTR turned on the Rock and Roll Express on AEW.
That was great, by the way, seeing Ricky Morton take that pile driver, you know?
It's amazing. He's still a great bumper, and he's probably, what, 70 years old at this point?
I don't know. He's close. But, yeah, that was but you know, it's funny you bringing that up. That was kind of fun, the tag team discussions amongst a few of the best tag teams in the history of the business. I thought that I kind of like it. I mean, listen, I never was a Rock and Roll fan. I was never the fan of those guys. I was always the fan of the bad guys against them. But they always put on a good match, and they always, you know, and it looks like they whenever they lost clean, or they would, you know, or they would, you know, they would sell it like crazy. So, but yeah, that was kind of fun this past AEW. Listen, there's something I wanted to bring up, and I briefly mentioned it in our post to everybody. You know, who is the creative genius behind some of the things in AEW? Like when MJF lays down in the middle of the ring, he says, maybe Moxley, it's easier to talk to me when I'm laying on my back in the middle of the ring. I thought that was genius, you know, just that.
Yes, and I think part of it is that they let the wrestlers be themselves. So I think the geniuses are whoever is in the segments, because unlike the other company, they don't, like, micromanage everything. So I think that's the answer to your question. And I'm sure that the wrestlers talk to Tony Khan, and whatever segments they're in, they get leeway of what they want to do.
Yeah. What about you guys? You guys all saw that, man. Wasn't that – I thought that was absolutely genius when, you know, MJF is just, you know, really kicking up his game big time.
Yeah, I think that one is MJF. I think he's good, especially him, because he does have – the promise of being one of the best speakers in the business. He's given a lot of leeway with his promos, and he goes out there and does his thing. He probably ran it by Tony Khan. Tony Khan said, yeah, that's great, and they went and did it. But I would put that genius on MJF.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen a lot of AEW wrestlers like come out and say that they're happy that they kind of have that control. I mean, Tony Khan obviously has a say in it, and everybody's giving everybody ideas. And that's kind of the way a lot of wrestling companies, I think, is outside of WWE are operating. Like, MJF's 24 years old. He can go out there and cut a great promo. He knows what he's trying to get across, and he's not taking direction from 90-year-old Vince McMahon, who's out of touch with what should be said out there and stuff. I think it's the creative freedom. I think everybody, you can see that they're enjoying it, and they, you know, especially with the way the tapings are set up and stuff, I think, you know, a guy like MJF can, you know, get on his flight to Jacksonville and start to think about what he wants to say and everything, and not have to worry about, oh, here's your script that the writers changed 8 times today, go out and do this in 10 minutes. Like, it's I like the way that they're operating with that and letting guys really be themselves.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. I liked the whole segment with MGF, except for the camera angles. A few of the camera angles were really awkward. They, like, were catching half his body. But regardless of that, going along the lines of the wrestlers really having some of their own creative freedom, I like it. It makes it feel more natural, makes it feel more real. And one of the things that I don't know if it was even a current article or whatnot, but I was reading something that Mox was saying on how he felt so much pressure on having to memorize all these lines written by a crazy 70-year-old man, obviously being Vince. You know, back when he was with WWE, he said that was pretty much the hardest part of the whole thing, and not being able to really be himself. Now that obviously he's in AEW, you know, he's doing his own thing, and that goes along the lines with guys like MJF and, you know, Orange Cassidy, and then obviously the genius Chris Jericho. So,
yeah, I agree.
I like it.
So, what do you think, Mike? I mean, was, you know, are you feeling the superior? I mean, I saw Chris Jericho this past week post some numbers that actually AEW in their demo, in their target demo, and I know it's funny, it's becoming a joke about this target demo thing, but in their target demo, they beat Monday Night Raw in what, you know, in the 25-54 males or whatever, and Jericho was pointing that out this past week, and, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, then we know that the best wrestling going on right now is on TNT. But what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think that that's a big part of what the one guy said. It was about MJF being 24 years old. is that they allow young guys like MJF and Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy to, they may not always be the most polished wrestlers at times, but they let them sink or swim. A lot of the problem with the WWE is the system. A guy like Adam Cole comes into the company, he's 27 years old. Why has he got to be in NXT for 3 years? And yet he's still there. Like, that guy should have been on the main roster right from day one. That's the big problem they have, is that too much of their roster is old. And it's even older than you think, even with guys who you think are young, but they actually aren't. I think that's one of the major problems, and that's why they don't hit that demographic very well.
Yeah, you do make a good point there. I think that, but I mean, you know, people, you know, Randy Orton's a kind of a timeless guy. I don't even know how old he is, but he's a guy who, you know, you would get plenty of every week. And I would agree, you know, but I think it's just, it's the feel of the show, to be honest with you, that I feel, you know, I don't even know if it's, because, like, for instance, you know, you mentioned these guys are all a bunch of young guys. They don't have a lot of experience. And, you know, Mox comes out last week and cuts, like, I don't know, a 15-second promo. That's all he had to do against MJF after MJF sat there and rode him for, like, what, 8 minutes in the ring? You know?
Right.
Which I thought was great. But, you know, maybe that's Mox's strength. He doesn't need to have a 10-minute promo. He needs to do 30
seconds. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, thank you for calling, brother. We haven't talked to you in a while.
Absolutely, man. I'll be keeping in touch. I'll try to call next week and hear your thoughts on the fight and next week's shows.
Very cool. Thank you very
much. Actually, it's weird. Next year, week, AEW is going to be on 605 on TNT.
On Saturday.
That's going to be very weird.
That is definitely weird. We're not going to have a new AEW show before we have a show next week. So I'm going to go to break on that. Thanks for calling, Mike. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Get out here and face your fears. I'm going to rip you limb from limb, and I will eviscerate you. And before you take your last breath, you will look up at me as I consume your entrails.
MJF, believe me when I tell you, I'm going to make sure that this is a very bitter pill for you to swallow.
This is me.
What I've accomplished, and I know as a member of the WWE Universe that AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy just sounds mega cool. Yeah. So I'm out here asking you, man to man, for a chance to take you on for that fresh, new Intercontinental Championship.
Natty, I would expect that from Lana, because let's face it, it's Lana. But you, seriously? I mean, you have a legacy all your own. You've worked so hard off of your family's coattails. Seriously. Oh, and the thing about boats, Lana, they sink. Hashtag that. See you next week.
Hey, guys, this is Mickey James, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Little AC/DC. She's got big balls. Did we lose the artiste? He shifted out there for a second. Welcome back. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy. There you are. Furby, the artiste, and DC is off this week. We're missing DC. Don't worry. But yeah, we got this week coming up. You know, we're here to talk pro wrestling. We're going to be out at Salvatore Saloon tonight to watch the UFC. So come on out and join us. 10 p.m. start time. It's out in Scottsville. We'll be back here in East Irondequoy, or West Irondequoy, here on at the garage door. Salvatore's at the garage door real soon, but just not for this pay-per-view yet. But we will be soon. So we're going to take a little trip maybe I'll grab some t-shirts too, and so we can hand out some t-shirts while we're there. That'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, that's tonight. Tonight, UFC 252. Main event being the one to break the tie, the 1-1 tie between Cormier and Miocic. So, hey, guys, welcome back. It's interesting, some stuff that was brought up in the last segment that kind of wanted to dabble in a little bit. But, I will say that I you know, this past week in wrestling. And Artis, this is I'm not hating retribution yet, you know. I'm just not sure where it's going, you know.
I'm hating it.
You are hating it. So it took you a week to hate.
Yeah, you can put me in that category. That's fine.
Okay. Well, last week you gave it a chance. This week it's done, right?
Maybe it was somebody else that was giving it. I didn't really like it from the start.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations to all those guys for getting taller in a week. If you want to share your secrets on that. But I don't. I think it's just you're trying to use current events, whatever. They're trying to do something different. And like I said, I don't want to go against them trying new things. They need to try new things. This specifically, though, is just not my cup of tea.
Okay. I got that. We're going to go to the phones right now. It's our good friend Rick from Rochester. What's up, Mr. Rick? How you doing today? Oop, did I lose him there? Hold on a second. Rick, are you still there, Rick? Oh, I.
You hung up on him really quick.
Yeah, he was there. Hold on. Let's call him back real quick. Is this Rick? Hey, Rick, is this you?
This is.
Sorry about that. What's up, buddy?
Nothing. First of all, nice Balls Mahoney bumper music.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling a little ECW. I don't know why. I've been thinking about ECW recently, so yes.
Hey, I've heard some rumblings that through Ian Riccoboni on Twitter that they're going to be starting doing some of the live shows in Maryland or something in the next couple weeks.
Who's the Ring of Honor, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Ring of Honor, yep.
Yeah, Ring of Honor is...
Yeah, they are.
They're doing TV tapings. Actually, believe it or not, the New York State put out the definitions on how to do a wrestling show in New York yesterday. So they do have their set of rules and everything set up now, so wrestling can start up again. Yeah, it's social distancing and everything, and masks and everything like that. But there are rules out there now if you're running a show in New York, what you have to do. So
yeah, I think they're gonna be in Maryland. That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, they're Maryland. There's in a few places that are trying to have shows. And WWE they're not doing SummerSlam next a week from Sunday in the Performance Center. They're going to be renting out the Orlando arena. What's it called? The Amway Center or Am?
Yep, Amway Center.
Yeah. So I don't know. And they said that they might.
That's gonna be every show from SmackDown on until they actually start moving again.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And they're going to do the fake crowds. I heard too. They're gonna blue screen them in or whatever.
Oh my gosh! <All right. laughs> Anyway, so keeping sticking with Ring of Honor, I seen that Delirious is back at the helm now that Skrull's taking a little hiatus.
Oh yeah, was Delirious come back in to run the he was a head.
Yeah, he's producing, running segments, stuff like that.
No, I mean, he's good. I mean, he worked with a lot of guys that are now main eventers in WWE. So, I mean, he's got he definitely knows how to detect talent and what to do with it. So, I think it's not a bad thing.
Sure. Now, am I the only one that saw this Orton Rare thing going down how it was a mile away?
What was that?
Am I the only one that thought that this Orton Flair thing was going to go down the way it was a mile away?
Yeah, I think. I mean, you know, Flair's never a long timer when it comes to doing stuff on WWE TV, and you always got to write him off.
There's also a lot of rumors that wasn't exactly what you saw on TV either. What's going to happen?
Oh, really?
That they want to go with Orton as champion, and one way to do that, you never saw Ric Flair actually get kicked in the head, did you? Because the lights went out.
True. Right.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're right.
Now, as far as AEW is concerned, are we gonna see some more people coming up that we haven't seen through the ranks? You know any names that better be coming up? I know Brian Pillman Jr. is doing a lot of dark matches.
I don't know.
Pillman Jr. is still technically signed with MLW. He's still under contract with them. He's able to work free dates and stuff like that. So he's able to obviously work with AEW right now, but he's still technically under contract with MLW.
To be honest with you, I think they've got too many people already there that they're not doing anything with. Why do we want?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think if you're going to see more people, it's going to be on the women's side. And the MLW contracts are tricky, but it's still interesting to see. We know what Ring of Honor is doing. We still don't really know what's going to happen with NWA and everybody there. But I think the focus the focus should be on bringing in more women. Of course, we also can mention the first three AEW cuts taking place this week.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, so that was Sadie Gibbs, Jimmy Havoc, and Bea Priestley, all from overseas who can't get here for shows anyway.
Well, Havoc lives in the States now. He's a speaking out. Yeah. He's one of the speaking out victims.
Yeah.
He's not victims. He's one of the perpetrators, and he's being punished for that.
There's a little bit of an association with well. Honestly, the one I'm probably the only person that would say this, but the one I'm kind of most disappointed about was Sadie Gibbs. I think there's potential there, and she was starting to do some training at QT school, and had a chance to meet her at the Dynamite in Corpus, and I think they need more and more faces in that women's division. You're starting to see a little bit more of that with Dark and with the women's tag cup. There's still a lot of work to do there. So, people could always come back at some point too, but right now, obviously, she's stuck over in England, and there's not much they can do with that. So
it's kind of
I actually have a good name for AEW that they should sign, that you're looking at signing, Kelly Klein.
Kelly Klein. I was going to say Tessa Blanchard. There's still a bunch of names out there that are available.
Talking about with women and what the RT said about not knowing what's going on with NWA. I mean, obviously there was rumors out there the last couple of days, and also rumors that were shut down about the same rumors. But Eric Rowan and Thunder Rosa potentially showing up on AEW on Saturday. Whether all those things are true or not true, but Thunder Rosa being the women's champion in NWA, that would be exciting to see what happens with her.
Well, Nick Aldis came out.
She's based in San Antonio and worked a lot of all those shows down when I was living in Texas. And I think she's probably one of the top names for sure that they could really look to bring in. So I don't know if they can bring her in long term or whatever the real deal is with that. And obviously, she had matches with Sienna or Allison Kay, whatever you want to call her, in NWA and elsewhere as well. That's another name that's out there. So I think we got to move on from mentioning Tessa Blanchard. I just don't think that's happening. I don't think it should happen. She's a tremendous wrestler, but nobody wants to work with her.
No.
That's her own doing.
I'd rather see Eva Lisa, who was there a couple weeks ago, come back and do stuff. So, but do you know,
I think you're going to see more of her. Yeah.
And she's been part of that women's tag team tournament with Diamante on Monday nights.
Do you know when this is going to be broadcast? Are they going to broadcast that, or are they just doing that as a YouTube?
No, it's just on YouTube. It's its own YouTube show.
On YouTube.
Okay.
Well, YouTube, Monday is the semifinals, and then the finals of that will be Saturday, the Dynamite a week from today. So.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You there, Rick?
Which, I wish they had. I know they're kind of limited with roster and stuff, but I wish they had done more than eight teams, to be honest. And I don't love all of the picks of people they chose to be in there. There's been some surprises. There's been some fun. Was really, really happy to see Nicole Savoy show up this week, or Little Swole, as they're insisting on calling her, which, she used that in Shimmer and stuff before. But she, former Shimmer champion, she's one of the top wrestlers out there as well. That I hope that's not a temporary thing. I think they should bring her in full time.
Wow. And last thing, is Tony Storm overseas and she can't come back over here for a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think all the WWE UK wrestlers really have been sitting and doing nothing because they can't come back here, and they're not producing because they can't send the guys over there to produce the shows. So
don't they live here? Why are they over there? A lot of them live in Florida, so why are they back in their home country?
No, not all of them. Not when the WWE UK, most of those guys, a big handful of them that were over there, they just kind of...
Can't blame them. I'd much rather be living in the UK right now than in Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Regardless of a wrestling job.
And NXT absorbed quite a few of them, too. With Walter and his gang, and stuff like that. So, yeah. Don't worry, Tony Storm will be back, Rick. Have no fear.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one. Richie, I'll catch up with your fantasy league, brother.
Gotcha. Take it easy. 222-1280, star 12A. On that note, let's take another break. It was an interesting segment there, talking about a lot of inside stuff. We did mention the big news, I guess, was SummerSlam. It's going to be at the Amway Center in a week from Sunday. We'll see. I guess we can maybe tear that down next week before the actual event. But I think it's interesting that they want to get out of the Performance Center. And everyone keeps complaining about the giant fan in the ceiling. I don't know if you noticed that. Next time you watch something from the Performance Center, look for the giant fan that goes continuously above the ring.
Why does that bother people?
I don't know. It does. 222-1280, Star Toys number. We'll be back after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Has been dispatched. Omega and Hangman have been dispatched. And on Saturday, Cody, you are going to put some respect on my name. You are going to put some respect on the Dark Order's name. On Saturday, Cody, I take that beautiful piece of gold out of your hands.
Because I'm going to destroy you once and for all. So challenge accepted. You versus me, hair versus hair.
MJ. But how do you maintain such a positive attitude despite there being a king's ransom for anyone who will take you out?
Well, you know, bro, is it cool if I call you bro?
Sure.
Cool. You know, bro, no one likes a bounty on their head.
Hey, this is Earl Hebner, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, Danger Boy, Furby, no DC Dan Cole, so I'm the other square this week. And is it okay if I call you guys bro? No?
I'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
It's better than bruh, but still don't like it.
That's the isn't the bro the man's ear, the man bra, the man bra. Never mind. Sorry, Seinfeld reference nobody gets. Hey, welcome back to the show. We're here to talk World Pro Wrestling. I want to bring up something, and I couldn't print my stuff up this morning again, so I'm kind of switching back and forth there while we're going in commercial breaks to see what I meant to talk about. And one thing that popped out at me was, starting today, WWE Network is now going to have three or four independent wrestling companies video library running on it. In fact, if I can call it up real quick before the companies are Evolve, Progress Wrestling, at WXW, that's out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Insane Championship Wrestling.
The WXW is from Germany.
It's from WXW originated from
Samoans. It's a completely different company.
Oh, is it? Okay. But yes. What do you think about that? What do you guys think about independent shows now being run, or you know, independent productions being put on the WWE Network? Is it a desperation, or I know we've talked about it a year ago, they were thinking about doing this. So what do you guys think?
All four of these indies are ones that have worked with WWE for a while now. Like WXW, Walter was training there and was training people that would end up in WWE UK or the NXT UK. And Progress ended up with people that were in NXT UK. We know about Evolve. They own Evolve now. So it's just the natural progression. It's the minors to their minors type deal. It's like the single A to the triple A type deal. And it's just more content for people to watch.
Yeah,
I can't see a negative in it. I mean, I think it's nice exposure for some people that'll show up. I think you're probably going to see some guys like Daniel Garcia out of Buffalo, who has worked Evolve. You're going to see some of his stuff pop up. I think it's a chance to see more things. There's more indies I'd like to see them consider. It sounds like maybe it's a limited amount of content going on for now, and then they'll put more and more. So only a positive really for that, as long as they're not trying to just take over independent wrestling and buy every company and do that. If they're just putting up old shows and stuff, I'm all about that. I watch plenty of other indies on IWTV and stuff like that, so I think it's a good thing to get more up. And also, there's a rumor that maybe Monday there could be more old episodes of WWF Superstars going up. So if that's true, I haven't seen confirmation on that, but I sure hope that's true.
Get the Rochester tapings. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I want more of that 94, 95 stuff up there. Yeah. 93 too. Yeah.
I've checked out the network this morning and they're not up there yet. So I'm still waiting for all the to be posted, because I was actually really excited to go in and watch them and everything. So I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see more content.
Well, there's a lot more, you know, of course, independent companies, you know. I mean, Artiste, you worked for, what was it, Russell Circus down there in Texas? They put on professional shows. I mean, they have that content available, I'm sure. You know, so, you know, I guess they just have to strike a deal. Maybe, you know, got to be in favors with the WWE and everything. But there's a lot more stuff that they could be putting up there. I think it's great. You know, like, for instance, Evolve. I mean, we got Matt Riddle from Evolve. We got Drew McIntyre was down there. There's a bunch of guys that were, you know, Keith Lee.
Arcana.
Yeah. A lot of these guys worked their way up through Evolve, and and not too long ago either. That's kind of where Drew McIntyre came back after leaving WWE. He came back
that and ICW. McIntyre basically made his runs in ICW and Evolve before coming back to NXT.
Yeah. So
I was gonna mention too. You mentioned Russell Circus. If anybody did not get their fill enough of Cody and Scorpio Sky this week on Dynamite, they had a classic match in Russell Circus. You can find on their YouTube page. But I know I mentioned IWTV. If you're interested in checking out a lot more wrestling, they put up a bunch more shows this week, including a bunch of ESW stuff out of Buffalo and Rochester too. So independentwrestling.tv, or if you just Google IWTV, if you use the code Empire State, you get 5 days free. So check that out. There's, I mean, dozens and dozens of stuff of different feds on there, AIW, and I mean, some Beyond stuff. Lots of stuff to check out. So,
yeah,
I think it's an easy way to spend some time, especially if you're quarantining and having more time to kill, trying to find what to watch on TV and stuff. It's a great time to check out more stuff than just Raw on Monday nights.
And you can follow people's careers too, because we've got a lot of people up now in WWE that started at these places, you know, like Ricochet. A lot of these guys, you can go back and find old matches of what they've done, and there's some great stuff out there. And it's like you see where people made their names on the indie tour before they got hired, including maybe even Brody Lee. I'm sure he might be in some of that stuff too. So
I mean, the IWTV's got like almost the whole Chikara archive, so you can go back and watch tons of that old stuff, old CZW stuff.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We used to live in a time period where it was very difficult, unless you were tape trading and buying RF videos, buying cassette tapes, whatever. Like, it used to be tough to catch a lot of this stuff, at least outside of your region. So that's the nice part about technology now, is going back and watching so much stuff that I always heard about but never actually had a chance to see.
Definitely, the world is different now. So, and most of those organizations would record what they were doing, so, which is really pretty cool. Something else I want to mention I didn't get to, and I apologize. We lost Kamala last week. Kamala passed away, the Ugandan giant. We had Kamala on this show when he was trying to sell the book with who was the manager guy that was
Kenny Casanova.
Yeah, Kenny Casanova. He had brought Kamala on, and Kamala was at the time was driving a truck, and I think it had broken down or something. I remember we had talked to him for a while, but it was great. Unfortunately, he passed away. We had talked about his amputation of his legs due to diabetes, but COVID-19 got him, unfortunately, and it's a shame. But a lot of people are having fond memories. I have fond memories of him being around here during the independence as well. Especially in Buffalo. I remember
Ballpark Hall, I think.
I remember him.
And he did one NEW show too.
Yeah, I remember it.
Because I may have known someone who was wrestling him, and I may have been involved with it as well.
I don't know.
He was pretty cool. He was very quiet, but he was really nice, and he wanted to do his thing, and we all danced to the YMCA. It was really weird, but it happened.
Yeah, and there were some funny videos done for WrestleVision when he was here in town. They did the Kamala Goes Bowling, which is, if you want to go and look some old WrestleVision stuff, you can find that. It's very entertaining. Guy in a toga with moons painted on his stomach in a bowling alley. But it's a shame, because he was, he's a guy who never really got to enjoy the riches of everything, I think, because he was here and gone. And Austin, you know, so many times. And then he wrestled Hogan. I mean, when you have to be pretty special to wrestle the main guy in WWF at the time, during the his run, that original run. And Kamala was, they did a bunch of series of matches around the house shows and everything, as well as on pay-per-view. So, yeah, he's definitely is a sad loss, and it's a shame. You know, I mean, there's some information in our news about, like he's having calling hours today, I think 5 to 6, and I can't pull that information up right now, but he was a scary guy, though. I remember him coming down scaring kids, you know, when he was, you know, when he was in, you know, in his wheelhouse, his heyday, you know. He'd come down, you know, and kids would, like, be booing him, and then he would, like, go nuts on them coming down the aisle and scare kids, which is great because he knew his character. Jerry Lawler had a lot to do with the creation of the Kamala character because he started with Jerry Lawler there in Memphis. So, if I would go do some searching on YouTube, you can find some really cool stuff on Kamala, and I think it's pretty sad that, you know, the way his life kind of, you know, and the way it ended, because he had to go back to driving a truck, and he really never got to enjoy the riches of everything, not like a lot of other people did. But that being said, you know, I'm going to the next. I don't know what else we want to talk about. Then why don't we go to break on that? Because I know I'm a bit bummer. I don't want to do a bummer before a break, but. I've got one segment left, so we'll go to break, come back, and you can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
No stick. So how about it's SummerSlam? You can bring that with you. You can use it however you see fit. That or any tool in the toolbox, as a matter of fact. I want you to have every opportunity at your disposal. Is it that you and your family have no excuse when I end your career before it ever begins?
You're a rabid dog chasing cars. You wouldn't even know what to do with one if you caught it. But therein lies the issue, John. You have caught it. You've caught the finest automobile on God's green earth. You've caught Pretty Platinum, the AEW world title.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist and TNA superstar Kurt Angle. And you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Kurt Angle did work with TNA, I mean, for quite a bit, right around the peak of his career. He left WWE, I think it was around the peak of his career. I mean, he had quality matches. If you watch the Impact 60-minute, what do they call that show, the 60, they call it the...
Impact 60.
Yeah, Impact in 60. They're going to do Kurt Angle on August 18th, his matches versus Samoa Joe. They have a whole list out. The 11th Tag Team Classics in TNA, and the 25th Best of Rob Van Dam, to September 1st, the Best of Tommy Dreamer. I'm amazed that it's an hour, because can you get that much out? No, never mind. And the last one, September 8th, they have the Best of Bully Ray. And Bully Ray, still to this day, I think, a very underrated character that could have probably been a huge heel in WWE if they had decided to go with it, even though the non-bullying thing, that's what stopped it because of his name, which is, kind of crazy.
Apparently Vince didn't want to give him a singles run. He asked for it, and Vince didn't like the idea. And he clearly showed, you know, in Impact and even in ROH too, I mean, that he was great singles. I mean, heel-wise, character-wise, I think like D-Von was in many ways the better wrestler, and they were a great tag team, but of those two singles, I think Bully Ray, I mean, really shined on the mic and stuff. So just Vince dropping the ball.
Yeah. And he actually said that because his name was Bully, that was one of the big things because they were doing the anti-bullying thing going on at the time, you know?
But I mean, they have the rights to do whatever they wanted, like any of his other names too.
True.
I think he was only really Bully Ray in TNA because he couldn't use a WWE trademark name. So I don't know.
That's true. What are you going to say there, Ferb? I didn't hear you.
I was just basically saying he was definitely more than capable of having a solid singles run, and he proved it from his time with Impact or TNA when it was TNA and Ring of Honor. So I was just kind of piggybacking off off the artiste.
I was going to say, a couple weeks ago on that Impact in 60, they did a whole hour on the whole creation of the Bully Ray character and the heel turn that he did against Hulk Hogan, against Sting, which, you know, I forgot what quality shows TNA used to put on, and really how the fans, you know, when they were traveling, they actually drew pretty good crowds. And there was in a cage match where he was tagging with Sting against somebody, and then turned on him right in the middle and went aces and eights, and you know, and that whole angle started with that. And but you know, yeah, it was good stuff. You know, it's like, as much as, you know, we might have had butted heads or not liked each other at all. I mean, he didn't like any of us because we were the media, and I think he was very protective of the business, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's people in this day who are still very protective of wrestling, you know, don't like when people are smart fans or whatever, and when, I mean, we're a smart show, so, you know, we could have played storylines all day if we wanted to, but we, you know, we were more into the real stuff, and he wasn't a big fan of people doing stuff like that, so he never really, though the one time he actually treated us pretty good was when TNA was in Rochester. That one time they were at the Blue Cross Arena, which nobody tends to believe really happened, but it did. They were here.
It was actually, it was 5 or 6 years ago this past week, because it popped up in my memories on Facebook.
Yeah, so well, as we're coming to the end of the show, I do want to mention that on Monday Night Raw, I guess we're going to get a Heartbreak Kid appearance. Possibly a Rey Mysterio. I'm guessing a Rey Mysterio. And Mickie James is going to be back in the ring. So looks like, you know, they're coming out. You know, this is the show before the, you know, the pay-per-view. So they're going to come out with the big guns to draw the crowds and everything. HBK is going to address the whole Ric Flair thing, which, honestly, we didn't even talk much about it. But what did you guys think about that? I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, you see, we're Ric Flair in a weak position. You don't get to see that often. You know, he's usually a cocky heel or whatever, but he was in a very weak position in that whole thing. And I you know what? I think Ric Flair really has learned to act over the years. So I'm just saying. But
I think we've seen, though, like in recent years with all the stuff, like his appearances with his daughter and stuff, you can tell he's a very emotional person. So, I mean, they're just kind of letting him be himself.
Uh-huh. I thought it was definitely one of the best closing segments on Raw in some time. You know, you really felt the emotion. You felt it kind of like feel like it felt big. It felt real. And the way that it ended, it kind of left a lot of things up in the air. Again, with the angle at Retribution, the lights going off and everything, it could go one of two ways. It's either one, they're writing Rick off TV, which was a lot of rumors, or now the swerve angles too of, you know, Ric Flair coming in and helping Orton win the title. That's another speculation. So I like it. It set up a lot for the future and for SummerSlam weekend.
Very cool. So one last thing before we get out of here, I do want to throw out that AEW will not be on Wednesday night this week if you're tuning in. So NXT will be unopposed because of the NBA playoffs going on right now. We will get AEW a week from today, 6:00. But they have a stacked show coming out. I mean,
they're going head to head with a takeover.
Yeah, right. It is going head to head with a takeover, and we could see Brody Lee with some gold around his waist.
AEW is putting on the first part of last year's All Out show during their normal time slot on YouTube this week. So that still is something that they're trying to put out.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you've got the women's tag on Monday on YouTube. You've got Dark on Tuesday on YouTube. Really, really enjoyed the Butcher and Blade SCU match that was the main event this past week on Dark. Yep. Really, really just old school feel. Pepper Parks played whatever in the beginning of that match with Frankie Kazarian. I thought it was awesome. I think Dynamite should be awesome. My one little concern this week, I almost thought that maybe Orange Cassidy was going to lose and then they were going to set up for him to finally beat Jericho either on a Saturday Dynamite or at the pay-per-view. They gave him the win, but then I felt like it was so rushed, like to sign off and get off TV, and now they're not on TV for a week and a half after that. That I really hope they follow up with that. You give him the biggest win of his career, you've got to capitalize on that now. And I just thought it was kind of like, oh, we're out of time.
And the finish to the match was suspect.
I think the finish was kind of rushed. You know, obviously with that kind of that roll up, kind of weird roll up he did there to finish it. Yeah, I agree, and I felt it was rushed, and I don't think it got the pop it would have, you know, or at least the effect it would have. But you know what? We're done, guys. I'm sorry. We'll talk about this next week. Don't forget to check us out every Saturday morning at 10. Thank you guys for coming on. We'll see you next week, folks. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.